Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. Good to have, we have a lot of people on vacation today. But we're glad to see everybody here. Let's see, I don't have really any announcements to make. Next week, Susie's going to be doing the music, so that'll be something different. That'll be fun. So she's at a wedding for her grandson this week. All right, so let's stand. Pardon? And no potluck next week. It is. I know it's the first, but we're going to wait and do it when we have the movie. So we'll wait on it next potluck. So let's stand. Go to our call to worship. And it's 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 to 14. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the beautiful weather that you've been blessing us with, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you that we can just come and sing praises to you today and to be fed by your word. And Father, I just lift Teresa up to you right now, Lord, and just bless her in the message that she has prepared to tell us today. And Father God, for our songs, Lord, may they be just music to your ears. We're going to be singing a cappella today, but that's okay because you listen to all the music and know that we are just singing praise to you. Father God, we just give you glory and praise as we know you're working in everyone's lives. We just thank you and just give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed Savior live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul on Jesus has leaned for repose. I will not desert to its foes. Thy soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In my song, Lord, be glorified be glorified in my song, Lord, be glorified today in your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified in your church, Lord, be glorified today.
Amen. You may be seated.
Let us participate in giving back to God just a portion of what he has so greatly given to us. If the ushers will come forward. Wyatt and... Uh-oh, I lost one. Here he comes. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you give us, not just of faith, family, friends, but also finances. So we return back to you but a mere portion of the great blessing you give us in anticipation of what you will continue to do for us with what we need to get through this part of our everlasting life. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Somebody didn't want to sit back there alone. Can I come up with you? Of course you can. Can you say hi to everybody? This is our chance to come together as family and pray before our Lord and beseech him and thank him for what he has done. And I'm thinking of Ted Delamarter specifically, not only beseeching for continued health, but thanking for being out of the woods. Well, actually now back in the woods at home, but yeah, God has done something mighty there. Amen. Yeah. And we have many other people here who represent family that have needs and have victories too. I have survived 5 days single parenting so far. That's a victory. And the girl's hair actually got combed before coming to church. So, you know, that's a big daddy moment for me. But anyway, who would like to share a praise or prayer request with the body today?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So Bill had a praise of returning to employment, back to work. And so praise God for work. I mean, it's something we're meant to do. All right.
I would also say that, when Debbie had posted things on his stuff, I had posted things, and a classmate of mine from high school posted immediately about her brother Dean. So if you see that on Facebook, Dean, hey, has stage 4 cancer, and they're going to do this one procedure.
So Bill's former classmate Evelyn, her brother Dean Pate, has stage 4 cancer, and they're going to do a surgery. So prayer for Dean. Vicky, I saw your hand up earlier. Hallelujah. Wow. God is good. So Vicky is sharing in praise that her husband is in a much better place with his health and doesn't have to go see. It was the pulmonologist, right? The lung doctor for a year now. Yeah. Big, big moves. Anyone else? Judy. And that's what praise for your son, your youngest son, your baby boy, Andy. Yeah. And his continued struggle with kidney failure. Yeah, kidney disease. Doing well. I love that kid. Oh my. So premature birth coming, probably. So prayer for one grandson who really needs to choose to go back to adult teen challenge, really. And prayer for another grandson and his wife that are expecting, and it looks like a possible premature birth coming up here, very likely. And the name was Grayson? That is to be born, is already named Grayson. So prayer for Grayson before ever getting to see Grayson. Anyone else? Let us go. Wait, I missed one. Thank you. Thank you, Donna. Dan, go. Right. No Jesus, N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace. K-N-O, Jesus, K-N-O, P, peace. Yes? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I know y'all got a page in the same book as me. So, yeah. Yeah. Both of them. Yeah, him and Claire were both I sing How Great Thou Art to them every night at bedtime right after prayers, so they know it. Almost every night. Almost. Yeah, sometimes it's another hymn, but hang in there. So Debbie just shared praises and thankfulness for all of our prayers for Ted. Praise that he's back home in the woods, but we also need to know he's not out of the woods. His clavicle still is not healing correctly because he's Ted and refusing to do what he should in regards to that. So that stubbornness that we love in Ted is Ted's nemesis right now. So let us pray that Ted will cooperate with the doctor's orders and be able to stay home. Okay. Yeah. Anyone else before we go? Debbie. Pray for Debbie. Yeah. Debbie is requesting we pray for strength for Debbie. I think while that might be a given, it could be overlooked. So Debbie, we're going to pray for strength for you to deal with Mr. Stubborn, who you love so much. Mr. Cranky Pants. If I was in his position, all things could be said in support of my wife. I know that. So, all right. Anybody else? All right, let's go together. Father, Lord, thank you for the privilege of being in this nation that came from your inspiration to some men and women long ago. Lord, we often can feel like that vision, that great city on a hill that you brought forth, is being lost, or the light might be dimmed. Lord, we ask that you give us the strength to stand strong and be a strong flame in this day and hour, and keep lit that city on a hill as all the surrounding countryside might seem to darken. And Lord, we ask that that flame catch light and fire in the lives and hearts and minds and your Holy Spirit, the souls of our leadership in this nation this hour. It doesn't matter, Lord, what party is in power. What matters is that you are. So, Lord, we ask that you get to soften, love, embellish, lead the hearts of our leaders for godly leadership. So we pray for them all, Lord. We ask your protection over them and your guidance for them. Because as they lead godly, the country will follow. And we will know Jesus. We will know peace. We won't know hate. And we won't know violence because of your great love for us. So, Lord, though we may watch the news disillusioned, instead illuminate us to be the light in the darkness. Lord, there's many needs in the body today. We lift up Ted. We lift up Vicky's husband. We lift up Debbie herself for strength. Judy's concern with a couple grandchildren and a great-grandchild to come. Lord, we lift up the hearts and minds of our neighbors and our fellow citizens to your throne of grace. Lord, all the rage and the hate and the silliness of looking skin deep at each other and not at the souls of one another, and you being there, Lord, bring it to an end. And bring yourself into the soul of so many as you do, that the kingdom might grow and your name might be honored. And Lord, somehow find a way for Gales Creek to be part of that big mission. Amen.
All right. Good morning, saints. Hope everyone is doing well. I get excited when we pray because it's our opportunity as brothers and sisters in Christ to just go before God and let him know what's in our hearts and what it's in our minds. And we draw strength from one another. That's why the Bible teaches us to share our testimony, because that's how we overcome the enemy. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so you might think it's a small thing, Sister Linda, when you say, oh, my daughter's dental surgery went well. That actually blesses someone else because they say, oh, well, I have a similar concern. And if God did it for her daughter, then he could probably do it for me, right? Or he can do it for my neighbor. So I'm going to now pray for my neighbor. So don't overlook the fact that God invites us to tell our stories with one another so that we can give him glory and so that others can know who he is and experience how great he is. Amen. So I get excited when it happens, and I'm so grateful that we can come together and share our burdens with one another and lift them up to the Lord. So the past couple of Sundays, we have been talking about the repetitive phrase that we find in Hebrews chapter 4, let us, right? Remember, we talked about it's not the vegetable, let us, but the command, let us. It's an invitation. So the first phrase we studied was, let us enter God's rest. And the second phrase was, let us hold firmly to what we believe. And so this week, we're going to close out the series with the third phrase. Let us come boldly to God's throne. And so our scripture comes from, again, Hebrews chapter 4. And I'll start with verse 14 from last week. And again, I'm sharing from the New Living Translation, but if you have a preferred translation, I welcome you to follow along in that. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. This is what it reads. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So listen to what the writer says. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Amen to the word of God. So the author of Hebrews is once again challenging the reader to take action and move towards God. The first invitation was to rest. Remember that? And then the second, to believe. And today's invitation is for us to ask aggressively. So this last exhortation is on how we ought to pray. My sister and I, we were driving here today, and we were talking about prayer. And it is a given. When you hear Jesus talking about it, he says, when you pray, right? The assumption is there, you're going to pray. Because as believers in God, that's what we do. That's how we talk to God. So it's not if, it's actually when. And so in this exhortation from the Hebrews writer, they're saying how we ought to pray when we do, because we already know it's going to happen. This is a timely word for us saints. And so again, I get excited about God's word, and sometimes that means I talk too fast, so I'll try to not do that so you can understand me, and I'll try not to get ahead of myself, but I do. This is just such a good word, and I'm excited about it. So look at what God is saying to us. The author is writing to persecuted believers. Remember, we talked about that before. Some were actually in persecution, and some were leaving out of it. They had been persecuted, and so they were traumatized. They know about suffering. And so then the writer, therefore, compares what's happening in their lived experience to the Israelites leaving Egypt. And so she says to the ones who are suffering, don't give up. Don't be like the Israelites. She says, I know you're suffering. I know you may feel lost and you don't know what to do, but don't be like those who wandered the wilderness and gave up believing in God. Remember his word. God is faithful and just and will not go back on what he said he would do. Therefore, she says, continue to obey God and follow his word. Hold fast to what you have learned of God. His word will lead to his rest. And so she says, because you know God's word and you know God has promised rest to those who believe, when you are weary and brokenhearted, you should boldly approach the throne of God. Let me say that again. When you are brokenhearted and when you are weary, this is when you should boldly approach the throne of God. The author argues this because God sent Jesus to be our salvation. Jesus, the fulfillment of God's word, became flesh. And remember, we talked a little bit about that. The verb that's actually used to describe is tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. He built his tent and lived with us, is literally what the word of God says. He became flesh. He became human and lived on earth. And so while on earth, he experienced what we do. He had parents, he had siblings, he had cousins, he had extended family. He had to learn how to read and write, do arithmetic. He had to make friends with the neighborhood and the school kids. He went to worship service on Sabbath, right? He had good days and bad days. He had successes, and he experienced rejection, just like us. The word says he was tempted like the lot of us, but he did not sin. And so you may remember the account. It's recorded in a couple places. Luke 4 is the one I like to reference, where Jesus goes out of the city. He's seeking a quiet place to commune with God. Remember, we talked about Sabbath. And so he's going there to commune with God. He's fasting. He's praying. And while he's out there in that desert, not only is he communing with God, but the enemy shows up and pays him a visit. So he comes to Jesus three times, tempting Jesus the way he tempts us today. And so what did the enemy do? He tried to get Jesus to doubt God's word. Exactly what he does to us today. fill our minds with doubt. He tried to get Jesus to move in his own power and not rely on God's power. He offered Jesus fame and fortune at the price of denouncing God. Isn't that fascinating? Same old devil, playing his same old tricks. Just like he did with Jesus, he's doing that to us today. We think we're so smart, and we know better. Be careful in your smartness, because that can be a trick of the enemy. He challenged Jesus, and he tries to get him to challenge God's word, to test God and see, because you know what he says to Jesus is, if you belong to God and you believe in God, then God will save you. Same things that we are challenged with today. And you may have heard these phrases before. The types of temptations can be summed up in these three things: lust of the eyes, or materialism. Materialism is real. That's keeping up with the Joneses. Whatever they have, you want. And, oh, that's a pretty dress. I'm going to go buy one. I want this type of car, or we need this size of a house, when really you just need 2 bedrooms, but you're wanting 10. Materialism. Lust of the body, or what we call hedonism, which means, that's just a fancy word for excess. It's too much. Doing the most and being over the top. This is just, there's a lot of that going on in the world today. And pride of life, which is also can be, in modern terms, self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. And you see it in our world today. All three of these. Materialism. That's what commercials on TV are all about. Selling you something that you don't have. And guess what? If you're the cool kid, you're going to want this. Right? All of that. And then that just leads to excess. Because we really don't mean, you know, and yeah, I'm going to admit it to you. I have a lot of pairs of shoes at home. And so Rona let me realize, oh, I probably only need really one or two. I need sneakers and a pair of dress shoes. But I've got a lot. I'm not going to give you the number. I'm just going to say a lot. Why, though? Why? And then, of course, there's self-centeredness. English language, by the way, has a lot of self words in our vocabulary. Self, 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 self. I. And then you wonder why people are so into themselves and why there's so much hatred going on and violence. It's because we are consumed with ourselves. How many times have you gone your own way and not taken time to consult God and his word? Because, you know, you're saved. You're a believer of Jesus. You know, you're not like those people. You would never be materialistic or self-centered or over the top, none of those things. But just think to yourself, how many times have you, though? Because you're so smart and you've got this job and you have this education and you have the ability, so you're just going to go do this thing. Did you even pause and consider what God might want you to be doing in that thing? The devil challenged Jesus by reminding him he's the Son of God and doesn't need to rely on God for power. Just take what you want. Make those stones bread since you're hungry, he said to Jesus. No, you have to watch what Jesus does, how he handles the enemy of our soul. Jesus politely rebukes the devil by informing him we don't conveniently make up the rules and randomly interpret God's word. We don't get to dictate to God what he should do because we belong to him. We are the creation, not the creator. So we don't get to dictate to God how things should go. And so, because I'm your daughter, then you need to save me. You need to heal me right here, right now. We don't get to tell God what to do. But that's what that's what the devil was saying to Jesus. You belong to him? Man, come on now. Just You're hungry. It doesn't matter that you're fasting. Go ahead. You're hungry. Turn those rocks into bread. What are you doing? You're hungry. You're going to starve? Believing in this God of yours? If you belong to him, go ahead and jump off. He'll catch you. Go ahead. And then there's the name and claim it, because you're thinking to yourself, well, the devil would never say stuff like that to me. Hello? Naming and claiming is still alive and well, y'all. So you may not have heard it in a while. It's still alive and well. You can have whatever you want because you're a child of the king. No. That's not quite how that works. I'm not sure what scripture you're trying to quote there, but negatory. That's not what the word of God says, and this is definitely not what it means. By reminding us that even Jesus was tempted, the Hebrew writer is trying to get us to understand that we can overcome any temptation because Jesus, our Savior and High Priest, has already overcome the world on our behalf. And God's Spirit empowers us to make it so. This is why we have already overcome, because Jesus has already done the work and we just need to walk in that victory. Praise God for it. This is why he gives us the Holy Spirit to enliven us to do what God has created us to do and be. So the writer says, lean into the power of the High Priest. Whatever ails us, whatever challenge we may face, when we go to God in prayer, he will hear us and he will help us. He will empower us to do his will. Not our will, but his will. So let's go back to scripture. Verse 16 reads, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So it's not about naming and claiming. It's about going to God to receive his mercy and grace to help us. Help us be the overcomers. Help us to be salt and light, not to amass all of these things that the world has to offer us, because this world is temporal. It's going to go away. And people like you today, and then guess what, Sister Judy? They don't like you tomorrow because I don't like what you got on. I don't like you moved to that one neighborhood. Yeah, we can't associate with you anymore, right? People are very fickle. So don't invest in that. It's not good stuff. Invest in what we know will be a guaranteed return on our investment in Christ Jesus. So go boldly to the throne and seek God's mercy, and he will give us the power to overcome. I like the way the Amplified translation states it. So Amplified, you know, I always tell people, when you're studying the Bible and you're getting bored with the one version that you've always used, use another translation, because it brings out different things and you go, oh, I never thought of it like that way before. So this old scripture that you've memorized since you were a kid or you've known for a really long time becomes something new to you. So I'm going to share with you from the Amplified translation. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace to help in time of need, which is an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. I know, isn't that a wonderful translation of that? Coming just at the right moment. We live in this world where we try to get everything instantly, right here, right now. And God is not the vending machine. And that's why we get mad. Because see, that this is ultimately that's why the Israelites gave up in the wilderness. We ain't there yet. We supposed to be in the promised land. You took us out of it. What? And we eating the same food every day. What is happening? I don't think God's real. I think we just been following this man and we going around the same old block. We ain't getting nowhere. You think, and you look at them, you go, yeah, they were dumb. I would never do that to God. Oh, really? How many times have you done like me, put your hand on your hip and say, now, here, look at here, Jesus, look at here. I done prayed this prayer now. This is going on a couple months. And then those months quickly turn to a year and you're like, Jesus, really? Are you even listening to me? Do you hear me? What's going on? And you might be tempted to hear the lies from the enemy and give up and think, oh, God really doesn't care. I guess the answer is no. I'm just going to give up on that. And you walk away from God and you start disbelieving God. I just quit going to that church because God never answered my prayers. What? Are you kidding me? You are doing just like the Israelites who gave up. You've forgotten all the goodness of God. You've forgotten all about his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness. All the times he's shown up for you just because he didn't answer you on this one thing. Or maybe you have a list. Depending on how long you've been alive, you may have 5 things on your list. And you're like, Jesus, no, I'm not even going to waste my time praying that because you ain't answered me yet. But if you look at the scripture, it says grace to help in the time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. Amen. The Hebrew writer says to his persecuted comrades, keep praying. God hears you. The description isn't a mere admonition to pray, but the manner in which we pray. Look at the descriptors. Approach with confidence, it says, without fear. I know that God listens. I know that he exists. So I am going to keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. So you go without fear. Why? Because he loves us. I know that God loves me, so I can come to him with anything. I don't need to fear him. I don't need to be superstitious. If I say this one prayer, then something bad will happen to me. No, that's not the God we serve. Or you may even get caught up in praying like you probably heard non-believers who people who, well, they say they believe God's word, but they're not really understanding God's word. Well, I guess God might answer. I did the best I could by not breaking any of the commandments, so I think he'll hear me. Or maybe someone will say, well, I don't know if God really cares. I've been praying for this a really long time. Like the Israelites, you may want to give up praying, give up seeking, give up knocking. But the writer says, don't do it. Don't give up on God's word and what you've learned. Go to God's throne and like his son, Jesus, our high priest, ask for what you need. And where else have we heard this? Jesus teaches the masses during the famous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And so he says to them, this is what prayer could consist of. Asking for God's provision, asking for God's forgiveness, and asking that God's will be done. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about when you read that and when you say it. Jesus continues his teaching with examples of how to live out the prayer. He challenges the crowd by asking about the animals and the plants in creation, saying, God takes care of the birds and the beautiful lily. So don't you think he'll take care of you since you were created in his image? When you go back to the beginning, no other part of creation is created in the image of God, only humankind. Not the birds, not the bees, not the beautiful flowers and trees. I don't know why I'm rhyming. None of that was created in God's image. Only us. So come on, people, this is what the writer is saying. I don't care what you're facing. Our God created us to be just like him. And so why do you think he's not going to hear you, that he doesn't care about you? When he takes care of the rocks, he takes care of the water, he takes care of all of creation, all the stars out in the solar system. But you are significantly different than the rest of creation to him. What in the world? How can you say he doesn't care? So Jesus tells them and us to not worry. Instead of worrying, go to God, ask him, and expect his provision. So listen to what Jesus said, starting with verse 25 out of Matthew. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, like me, lots of shoes. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And the answer is no. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, those who don't know who I am, those who don't know who God is. But your heavenly Father, he says to them, already knows your needs. He already knows it. So therefore, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Somebody say amen. What'd you say? Jesus, is that for real? Yes. Stop trying to amass and do these things and seek the kingdom first. Put God first in your life, and he's going to take care of everything else, is what the word is saying. This is what the author of Hebrews is saying. Open your spiritual eyes and ears. See and hear what thus says the Lord. There are those of us who are worried about the church universal, right? Because we all just, I thought we were coming out of Rona, but Rona's still here. Yeah, Rona's still acting out. And so it makes us ask a lot of questions. How can we continue to have church when we have so few members or without permanent leadership? What about all of our buildings? My mother asked me this a lot. What are all the churches and the schools going to do if no one's using them on all these businesses? What are we going to do with all that stuff? Will we ever get back to having church like normal? Well, we didn't get to have Vacation Bible School or the Strawberry Festival or whatever program that we normally would have because of the virus. Who's going to be the next pastor? Will our community remember that we even exist? We don't have enough money to do this, and we don't have enough money to do that. Who's going to teach Sunday school, by the way? And do we have someone to work with the children? Who's going to take care of the children? Let me say this. Those are great and valid questions. They're good questions. My invitation to you is like the Hebrew writer and like Jesus himself. The virus is a call to action, not inaction or apathy. The church universal, I don't care what denomination you're a part of, what movement you're a part of, if you're in China, Japan, Israel, here in the United States, wherever you are, the church universal and this congregation must adapt to the times and listen for God's voice and look to see where he is moving. It's not about our programs. It's not that. What is God calling us to do to win the souls of the people right here, right now? We can't use our stuff from yesteryear, y'all. No, stop that. But we've always done it this way, Pastor Teresa. I know. And it worked in the past. But this is a new day. We got to keep moving with Jesus. Jesus is not stagnant. He's alive and well. And so he is expecting us to move with him. And so this is what we need to do. We need to listen for God's voice. Watch where he is moving and join in the movement with him. And if all of those questions or any one of those questions I pose is on repeat in your heart and mind, you know, it's with you when you wake up, it's with you at lunchtime, and then you think about it again at dinner time and right before you go to bed, I invite you to boldly approach the throne of God and ask him to reveal himself and his will. Yes, it's okay to be concerned about those things, but take it to God. Because trying to figure it out on your own, not going to work. It might be effective for like 5 minutes. Like, oh, look, the people came to this one program we had. Yeah, but does that help with making disciples? Do you have building relationships with that? Because knowing Jesus is not a one and done deal. You don't just get baptized and then you're good. You know, you don't just say, you repeat some words of a prayer. Okay, I'm saved now. No, it's not how it works. We can't rely on our own selves. We got to rely on what God is wanting us to do. So instead of letting the unknown rule your mind and fill your heart with worry, or worse, apathy, which is not caring one way or the other, you know, because that's what happens sometimes when churches go through turmoil. It's like, well, I don't know, I don't care because I'm not in charge. It's just whatever they want to do. Like, no, no. It's an opportunity for us to commit. Okay, Lord, what are we supposed to be doing? Let's pray. Let's seek. Let's ask. Let's keep knocking and believing that God wants to use us. And then pray for our own willingness in our hearts to be bold and to be brave and to step out into that new thing that God is calling us to do, and not to rest on our laurels and think, well, I gave, so I'm good. I don't need to work anymore for Jesus. As long as you have life and breath, he's expecting you to continue to shine your light and to be salt. This is what he's expecting us to do. So I'm encouraging you to not be that apathetic one, but to do like the song says, turn it over to Jesus. If we worry and not lean into the word of God and into what we believe about God, we will give up like the Israelites. We will rely on our own understanding and ability and think that we can do ministry and run the church without God's power. Because that's just the way we've always done it. Mm-mm. No, stop that. Worry prevents us from entering God's rest. Instead of relying on God's power and authority, we look to ourselves to have the answer. And that, my friends, is dangerous. We should, rather, look to God's word and his promise that he spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. You know these words. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, listen to what he says. I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. This is why the Hebrew writer invites us to come boldly, ask aggressively for what we need, and invites us to choose to not worry. If we genuinely seek God, he will reveal who the next leaders are to be. He will provide the laborers to do the work. He will provide the resources, spiritual and physical. And he will move in our hearts so we can be used by him. So let me close with these final thoughts. The lessons learned from Hebrews chapter 4 are this. Rest in God. Believe God's word. And third, pray, anticipating God's move. If we know God's word, we can trust God's word, and we can pray God's word. Praying God's word is praying his will. And praying his will empowers us to not be defeated by our circumstances. We may wander, and we may feel lost in a spiritual wilderness, but we know God's word says he is with us and has not forgotten us. It may seem like he's not there, but he is, because his word says that he will not forsake us. His Holy Spirit is in us to remind us he will not forsake us. He has not forgotten us. So Gales Creek Church, you must do your part. Trust God. Don't quit on him. Boldly ask for what is needed, for he will grant you mercy and give you grace when you need it most. And that time of needing him most is today. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Thank you for not changing. The world is constantly changing around us, but you remain the same. You are faithful and just, and we are grateful that you care about us, even more so than the birds of the air and the flowers in the fields. Thank you. Thank you for salvation. Help us to rely on your word and to expect great things in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We ask you to work in our hearts and give us the mind of Christ. And we pray for those who might be watching the live stream or may check out the Facebook page later, that their hearts and their souls may be blessed, and that someone will come to faith in Christ and someone will grow in their faith in Christ. We thank you for doing it. In Christ's holy name, we pray it. Amen and amen.
Words today. Let's stand, and we're going to close with Marvelous Grace.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Oh, that goes perfect with that. You want to close this?
Pray with me. Holy God, thank you again for the opportunity to come together to worship you, to learn of your word. I pray now for all of those under the sound of my voice that you would bless them as they go from this place, but certainly not from your presence, because you are with us. You said in your word that you would never forsake us, and so we thank you for that. Help us to allow your spirit to work in our lives, that to empower us to be salt and light and to bring salvation to someone in our lives that you have placed in our pathway this very week. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to give you glory in all that we say and do. Amen.
Amen.
Until we meet again, go in God's grace and his peace.
Amen.